The David Boehm Society presents.
There are some values we're pointing toward which are of that nature, right? Going beyond even the physical needs and beyond the need for continuing life and so on. Now, although when we think of the whole of humanity, of the whole human race and so on, you could raise the question, you know, if the human race doesn't survive, what is the value of all the rest of it? You see, that's a very deep and difficult question, right? Therefore, it becomes very, very urgent to somehow get at this question of survival of the, of the race, right? Though it may be that other races would come along, you know, you could take a bigger view, if you like, and say nature is probably experimenting with different kinds of creatures. You know, there was a program once showing somebody, the dinosaurs were extinguished about 75 million years ago for some reason that isn't very clear. And so they found the skeleton of a dinosaur that was about the human size and had a rather large head, and it had three opposable claws. And they thought this could be the beginning of an intelligent creature, right, by further evolution. So they showed how it might have evolved gradually, bit by bit, and began to look more and more like a human being. But it was still a reptile. So the point is that this possibility was lost by some accident. coming from outside, you know. But the human race may be lost as a possibility because of some internal accident, right? Going on with thought. But then people could speculate maybe in another X million years something else will turn up, or else on another planet or somewhere, you see. But on the other hand, you know, at least as far as we are concerned, you see, that really doesn't help us. You see, that if we hope to participate in this process, then we have got to deal with it, right? Otherwise, you know, we won't we'll go, right? And you could raise the question. What?
We are an endangered species.
Yeah, but we're endangering all the other species at the same time, you see. And there may be other planets and so on, probably are, but at least what's here is endangered, right? Yes, well, obviously life became rather miserable under certain, you know, as civilization developed and people then imagined a better life, you know, afterwards. And yes, and in fact, you see, even if it comes to the Christian religion, the original idea was the kingdom of heaven was going to be here, just a matter of being brought about rather shortly. Mm-hmm. And then when it didn't come, obviously they wouldn't have even thought about it unless they'd been pretty miserable. Mm-hmm. And when it didn't come, they were left with their misery, and then they had to invent the idea, well, it's not going to be here, it's going to be up there, right? And and that way they could have a fantasy which would alleviate the misery. Well, so other people, but you couldn't have that control unless there were the first value, appeal that misery is alleviated, right? Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't primarily focus on the exploiters, but primarily on why people want to be exploited. Mm-hmm. Yes, well, that was the original meaning of this religion, that it was either the kingdom of heaven is within, it is here and now, or since it doesn't seem to be here, it will be here shortly. And then when it didn't come, it's got to go up there, right? Yeah, well, that's right, but that may be what was the idea then, too. That was probably, if the ordinary way of thinking stopped, you see, and become as little children and so on, maybe that would be the kingdom of heaven. You see, people have probably had this intuition and from time to time over the whole of history or beyond, right? And people have had misery, which pushed them into it, right? That, you see, civilization never produced happiness, you see, or seldom, if ever. Right? And if you go back to the Stone Age, well, life was simpler, at least, you see. There were 20 to 40 people who knew each other. They could sit in a circle and talk. And, you know, it was fairly easygoing. They were fairly free. I knew an anthropologist who said that he worked among the North American Indians, and he said, you know, you could think almost anything you liked, and nobody cared as long as you didn't make a nuisance of yourself. But say, as civilization developed, it became necessary to force people to think in certain ways because they were afraid society would be threatened if you thought in another way. Right? Mm. So there was not a great deal of war because the weapons were very limited. And in fact, among the hunter-gatherer groups, people shared the hunt, they shared all the results of the hunt. And so on. You see, all the problems came later when you went to agriculture. You see, now people are wondering why human beings ever went from hunter-gatherer to agriculture. You see, there's some evidence they may have known about how to plant plants for quite a long time but didn't want to do it very much. And it's clear why not, because if you can get your food by hunting and gathering, it's much more interesting than there's a back-breaking work of planting and plowing and you know, work for 6 months, and then maybe it'll all be destroyed by insects or flood or gophers or whatever. See, no intelligent person would, at that point, would have chosen agriculture. But then they say there perhaps was a food shortage, and they said, well, unfortunately, we've got to plant plants, right? But then they got so much food that the population went up, and it got so high that it was no longer possible to live by hunting and gathering. Therefore, we are stuck with it, right? We have to go on with our agriculture, make it bigger and bigger. We've got to develop more and more technology and so on, right? And you see, probably people used to get enough for their needs with 10 or 20 hours, 15 hours a week of work or hunting or whatever, but now that became necessary for much more, right? You see, and in fact, we still are not down to where it was then, you see, with all our machinery. And and at the same time, weapons were developed. Once metals were developed, you see, weapons became dangerous. You see, wars were perhaps a kind of sport until then. And then they became really dangerous and destructive, and you know, and also you could then take slaves, and it was pointed out, as I said, by V. Gordon Chow, that after that the development of technology almost stopped because it was much easier to get wealth by plundering and taking slaves, you see. And then the only thing that was developed over several thousand years was iron, obviously, because it made better weapons, right? And other aspects of technology developed by accident, you see, that are very little. And you see that the very big cities and countries developed where you had to have tremendous authority, you had to have police to force people to obey the authority, you had to have armies to protect it. You know, you had other armies fighting, and you had to go through a whole business, and it got more and more miserable. You see that as the Roman, every one of these civilizations decayed, you see, from within, like the Greeks, the Romans, and so on. It really... it's not clear that this whole thing has produced any greater happiness, right? Yeah, you had to have more acquisitiveness once you had agriculture, mm-hmm. You see, and you had to acquire wealth and minerals and weapons and, you know, gold. And well, there was already art and music among the most primitive people. You see, the 40,000 years ago, there was art on the caves, which is not bad, and to put it mildly. And also, even the Bushmen, you know, they do art. They do it with either paints that wear off, or in Australia, they do it in the sand, as they don't accumulate it. Right? It's not entirely that. You see, there were North American Indians in the hunter-gatherer stage, and there were these others who were in the agriculture stage. But if you go down further south, you get the Aztecs and people like that who were really had some very nasty customs, and they were very military. And conquered, and they took their prisoners and massacred them on large scale as sacrifices and so on. They did a lot of unpleasant things. And you see, I don't think the white man has the unique credit for being nasty. I'm sure they had some, you know, that the Aztecs didn't just invent it out of nothing, you see. they just developed it further, you know. That even the, you know, the... who were the Indians in South America, in the Andes? The Incas. Well, they had a priesthood, you know, running it. Now, there were some very nice things about it, but then probably there were other things that weren't so good. And, you know, it must have had problems, you see, to run a state which was so large. Mm-hmm. They had to have some kind of authority which was arbitrary, and they had to have fear. You see, once you get to a group of about over 40, you are bound to, you're going to have hierarchy and authority and things like that. You know, I think in this whole process, there were always people who could see that this was not enough, you know. The ordinary person would say, okay, that's the way life is, right? One of these anthropologists who studied the North American Indians, he said that you have about 10% of the people who are either philosophically inclined or, you know, they're maybe shamans or, you know, they have various interests beyond the ordinary. And then 90% are the ordinary people who just are busy with everyday life. They pay no attention to the remaining 10% until some trouble occurs, and then they go to those 10% to get help. And then when the emergency is over, they forget about it, you see. And we said that the percentage is much the same in our own society. That's the way it goes, that 90% of the people are very oriented toward the problems of everyday life and saying, you know, that concerns us, that fills our minds, right? Now then 10% somehow are not satisfied with that and begin to look in other directions. Mm-hmm. I can't say at the moment. You see, I hope that it's not the end, you see.
You talked about 1,000 years.
Yeah, but I'm saying I hope something is going to happen to change all this, you see. But we have to point out the danger, but we also have to point out the potential, right? You see, I think we should move gradually toward that direction. Mm-hmm. You see, that in spite of all that has gone wrong, there is a tremendous potential in humankind, right? Yes, that's a key point that, you see, if you go back to the ancient Greeks, they justified slavery by saying you would never have any culture at all without slavery. Everybody would just have to do backbreaking work most of the day. And where would you be, you see? Now, there's no art, no science, no philosophy, you know, no this or that, right? And then I think, it may have been Aristotle, if I can remember correctly, who said that if there was something, these tasks would just do themselves, we wouldn't need slaves, you see. But you see, it turned out that that's what we're developing, these machines, right? And you see, they also, the Greeks even knew about machinery. They invented a small steam engine, as you know, worked by reactive jets. But they regarded it as a toy. And you see, one of the objections to it was this, that it was not only not necessary, but what would the slaves do if you had these machines?
Have slaves to the machine.
So that shows the way our values get turned around, right? That originally the slaves were put there to, you know, do things because we didn't want to be occupied all the time. Then later it became a value. Just continuing the present setup becomes one of the values, right? Saying we cannot risk upsetting the present structure, and therefore if the slaves have got to be occupied, you see. It goes around like that, that you can see it. See, we take a broad view of history or a long view of history and say this is not a new problem. The human race has been in it, and the tendency is there in the animal toward violence, right? That in the chimpanzee, and that is violence which is mixed with thought, right? Which is based, maintained by thought. Hmm? And by thinking of how evil or bad the other side is or something like that, or how good it would be to take away the things he's got and have them for yourself and so on, right? And it seems that there is something in this, in our whole evolution, that has this potential for destructiveness and violence and deception in it, right? Hmm. There are other intelligent creatures on the earth besides the one on our own line, and for example, there are the dolphins and whales who are not, they don't have the opposable thumb and finger, and therefore they could not develop tools, but they seem to be quite intelligent otherwise. And if the question is whether, intelligence may not even require that we have this hand that does things, right? But we have developed it through that, right? And that has gone into technology and so on. Now, and a lot of our values are connected with that line of development.
dbohm.com